Well, dear friends, last week we began a series of messages on 1 Peter, and tonight we continue in chapter 1. Last week, you remember, we looked at Peter in his opening words, giving praise and glory to God for his faithfulness and the living hope that we all have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the second part of the first chapter, where Peter calls upon his people to live lives that are different to the world. And we read from verse 13 of chapter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The first epistle of Peter is a contemporary epistle, I believe, that has much to say to us in the church today. It is contemporary in its message, even though it is written, of course, during the time of the apostolic age. But it does give us an insight into the way in which the early church was developing and growing, and the teaching that guided and kept the people of God to whom these epistles were written. It begins with a praise to worship, which we looked at last week, giving praise and honour to the God who had revealed himself in Christ, the salvation that is ours in him, and the confidence that we have. Tonight we look at the consequences of that, living holy lives, obedient to the word of God and seeking to do his will. It speaks of the Lord Jesus being the cornerstone, the one in whom we build. It gives advice about rulers and masters, how we submit to the authorities. When I come to the week about wives and husbands, it might be a bit dodgy, but we look at that as well. The reality is there's much here for us, because it speaks to us in this age of the eternal truths of God. So here we have it, 1 Peter, the call to a new mindset. Do you get set in your mind sometimes? Are you unchangeable in your attitudes? We only look around the political world and we see that. We get into a mindset, that's what it's called, that we won't move from there. The Pharisees and scribes came into that category. Their minds were set on that which they had known through the law of Moses and the prophets. And when Jesus came to the synagogue in Nazareth and claimed that all that had been promised was fulfilled in him, they just could not accept that. Their minds were set. In the political world, sometimes you get people who are so politically motivated in one particular direction, they will never change their minds. And we see that again and again in the world around us. Sometimes as Christians, we can have a particular mindset in the way we interpret the word of God. We believe the word of God is the inspired word of God. But sometimes we can interpret that in such a way that is sometimes not as gracious and as loving as it ought to be. We mustn't be blind to what Scripture speaks to us. We must allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truths of Scripture to us, and that's important. Many here in Bethel remember a lovely lady called Mrs. Lena Gibson, and I remember her in a Bible study once saying to Mr. Morgan, the minister, Mr. Morgan, if the Bible said that Jonah ate the whale, I'd believe it. Well, I'm not sure about that. But certainly it was typical of her. I don't think she meant that, but she said it in humour. She was one who trusted the word of God implicitly. So here we have it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord. Therefore, prepare your minds. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And what Peter is saying, we've seen now the full revelation of God in Christ. You cannot hold to the old mindset. You cannot be confined anymore to that which you did once believe, because God has now revealed fully in time his revelation of grace. And that's the mindset now, he said. A mindset that speaks of the fullness of God's grace. Therefore, he says, change your mind. By the grace of God, have your minds that which God would ordain to give to you, because God has revealed himself to you. Remember that once you were far away, but now you have been brought near in the love of Christ. So, dear friends, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that God works by his Spirit. I often think of Peter himself, you know. It took a while for Peter to really come to a full understanding by the time he wrote these words. If you look at Peter on the day of Pentecost, if you look at the apostle who was filled with the Spirit of God, went out to preach the word of God, and yet he had a mindset. He believed quite categorically that the Christian faith, the Christian message, was to be confined to just the Jewish people. He was very conservative with his theology. He believed that God had come in Christ to fulfill the promise of that which he had ordained through his word. The Messiah had come, the Jewish Messiah had come, but just come for the Jewish people. Council in Jerusalem in 49 AD changed his mind. Paul came along. God called Paul of Saul of Tarsus, another man who was set in his own mind at one time. Set in the mind of the law of Moses and the prophets, unmovable, studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Here was a man who was totally unchangeable until he met with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And this man was changed. His mind was completely turned around. And before that union of Peter and Paul, there came the revelation that this gospel of grace was for all of humanity. That the Jewish people had been chosen to be a light to the Gentile world. The fullness of God's grace was extended. These men had to change their minds. Their mindsets were set where they were at one time. Now they have been totally changed. And that's a wonderful truth that we celebrate tonight. And Peter celebrates it within his word. In this word, there is a contemporary message for the church. Change your minds and hearts and believe what God has ordained in Christ. Be moved in the power of the Holy Spirit to, as Paul says, be vessels of the Holy Spirit in the age in which we live. Be grateful for what you've learned in the past. But don't let that confine you. Don't become people who are judgmental and dogmatic, so much so that you look down your eyes at other believers. No. We've been all been saved by the grace of God. We've been redeemed, ransomed and healed and forgiven in that which God had ordained. He has changed our minds completely. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and I followed thee. That's the way of grace. That's the way that God changes the minds of hearts of so many. Like John Newton, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. It's also a call to be holy. A call to be holy. Be holy as I am holy. Holy. I can't help think of the word holy in terms of wholeness. The wholeness of God. The holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise unto thee. Isaiah had a vision of a God who was holy, high and lifted up. He felt so inadequate. He felt so undone. And from the altar there came a purification fire that redeemed Isaiah the prophet. Here I am, Lord, send me. What is holiness? Holiness for the Christian is following the ways that have been ordained for us in his word. To be people who live according to the word in which we have given. Holiness means that we too are holy. We are holy and precious. We are the saints of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are imperfect saints. We are those who need to be perfected in the power of God's love. And that's what we need to be sure of. Holiness has to do with that which God is. And Jesus taught a way of holiness. It's a way of worship. It's a way of living according to God's word and to God's ways. It means that we know that we are separated from the world for a particular reason. Peter says here, that we are strangers in the world. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I feel like a stranger in the world. The more I watch and see what's going on in the world out there, we see the indifference in the things of God. We see a lack of holiness, a lack of morality. We see societies often that is turned on its head. And we see the indifference and we see the arrogance of men. Politically, internationally, we see it every day. And we see it sadly in the streets of our cities. Tragedy was happening in Middlesbrough when those five young men were killed. That was a tragedy in itself. Two policemen died as well. And a community was in mourning. And yet people came out even to celebrate the death of those people who had caused the accident. Not that we decry for a moment that they had been lost, but it was a way of arrogance, turning cars over, running cars into properties and causing havoc and pain and anguish. That's the way of the world. It's sad when you see that. And you know, I felt for the families of those boys that had died. What are their parents thinking? And yet when their contemporaries could go out and cause such havoc and cause such disarray and cause such absolute terrorism and fear in the community, and somebody said, that's an indication that our nation is broken. A broken community. Because we have turned from the ways of holiness. A broken community because we have gone after Baal instead of worshipping the true God. The world that has chosen Barabbas and has sent Christ to the cross again. That's the society in which we live. And that's why as the people of God we are called to be different. We are called to be those who by faith have entered into a situation of grace and seek to live lives. We will fail because we will all fail. But we have a forgiving God. And we all have particular temptations in our lives perhaps that sometimes we know when we succumb we are not the people God calls us to be. But we are weak. But when we recognize our weakness and our need for forgiveness, this forgiveness freely comes and inspires us to live our lives according to His word and His way. That's what holiness means. And we seek to be whole as He is whole. And seek to live our lives according to His word and to His way. That's what Peter is saying to this society here. And he says it to us in our society today. As I said this morning, dear friends, it is a joy and a privilege to be in the Church of Jesus Christ today. To be in a family of faith where we learn to grow in faith and knowledge of Him, where we seek to help those who are in need, where in a non-judgmental way we seek to help those who are the refugees in the world and who need our help and support. That is what being holy means. That we worship a holy God and seek to follow His ways. And that is the only means that this world will be changed. When at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That's why the gospel is preached to the furthest corners of the earth. That's why we proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why we weep with the people of Middlesbrough and people who are in situations like that. Our hearts go out in sympathy and compassion. And yet we know that God ordained a better way. A way of peace and reconciliation and brotherly and sisterly love and care for each other. That seeks the good of each other and doesn't celebrate evil. Already in the shops, the Halloween paraphernalia is there, indicating to us that people will celebrate evil and death and darkness rather than the things of God. That's the society and world in which we live. Peter says to us in Greenfields and Effie tonight, live holy lives and give glory to Him. And then he speaks about a reverent fear of God. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers, for you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without defect, chosen before the creation of the world. We sang that hymn, Came Signor Be, before time itself. And we are those who come into the presence of a God such as this, a holy, righteous God, to whom we bring honour, glory and praise. There's a term in Welsh, parchedigon, reverent fear. God doesn't want us to fear Him. He wants us to come in His presence, knowing that we are standing on holy ground, that our worship must reflect our gratitude and thanksgiving and worship of a God who is worthy of the praise and honour and adoration of the people who come into His presence. We don't come here flippantly. We don't come here seeking to be entertained. Not one little bit. But we come to worship a God who is worthy. Worthy of the adoration of our heart. And I fear sometimes about the contemporary church. It's gone right over in some situations to being more like a discotheque than being the place of God is worshipped. We don't come here to gratify our own souls. We come here to grow in faith, yes, but to give glory to the unchanging God of the Bible, who is holy. Take your sandals off your feet, the Lord said to Moses, for the ground on which you tread is holy ground. Do you know this place is a holy place? As nonconformists, we don't hold to the importance of buildings, but we can't get away from the fact that this is a house of prayer. A house where the people of God have met with Him over generations and generations and have come in fear, in holy fear, and have come to worship and to praise the one true living God. Let us do that. Let us come into His presence with praise and with thanksgiving, for He indeed is worthy. And then finally, Peter speaks about the permanence of God's word. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. All men are like grass. Have you noticed the grass in the last couple of weeks is brown, isn't it? We haven't had much rain. We were glad for the rain today. The lawn out there, fair play to Mike, he looks after it so well. But the reality is it's very brown at the moment. No sign of any sort of green yet. But my lawn is coming a bit greener. Yes, because it's pampered and I put stuff on it. Wow. Before long I'll be able to cut it again. But one truth that we have learned, really, that all grass, all men are like grass. We wither away. Yeah. We get baked under the sun as we grow in our time. But yet the grass is cut down and thrown into the fire heap. That's the message of the world out there. All that men has accomplished. All that men builds their empty bases of power on. What will happen to that one day? The glory will fade. It will fade. Like the flowers of the field, they will pass away. Never more to be remembered. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Do you see what Peter is saying? What you and I have is of eternal worth. What you and I have is more precious than anything the world can offer. We have Jesus. And because we have trusted and believed in Him, we are walking on holy ground. And we are part of that which is eternal. Our eternal souls are safe in His keeping, not only for now, but for eternity. There will be a one day when we will see Him face to face. That's the promise of eternity. That's the promise of God. Isn't it wonderful to know that? When all the empires of the world will be as dust, He will be on His throne. The one true living God. And we will have been those who, in trusting and believing, will know that eternal truth that Peter shares with us tonight in this age in which we lived. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers and sisters, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. That one true God, who has been proclaimed from this pulpit of one generation to the next, constant in His love and in His care, in heavenly love abiding, nor fear, my heart will know. Green pastures are before me as yet I have not seen. Blue skies will soon be o'er me when now the dark. My hope I cannot measure. Yeah. My way to God is free. That's the promise tonight of a God who is eternal, who is holy, and who is worthy of all the adoration of our hearts. May that be our joy, may that be our calling in the age in which we live, because Peter has given us that message for the edification of our souls and the joyous hope of each new day. Amen.